So here we are on episode one of the flagship Digital Insights on the Yotton International Radio. And this is for tips on everything digital for marine businesses. And for episode one, we have Art Hill here, tuning in from Florida, from Rogue Marine Advisors, who help marine businesses navigate digital marketing. Art, how are you doing?
I am doing great. How are you, Ben?
Right. Not so bad. We've got some good weather coming in for the weekend, which is cheering everyone up, I think. Finally being able to get outdoors. Did you go fishing at the weekend?
Not last weekend, but it was rough weather, but we will be going tomorrow. So.
Okay. Oh, cool. So you're not stuck inside or anything. It is like kind of, you can get out and.
Yeah. Yeah, we can get out here. You know, they never really close our boat ramps here, at least not that much. Yeah. We were able to get out and kind of social distance ourselves on boats, so there's no better place to do it than the great salt water, and we can get out and get some fresh air, you know.
Yeah, just be in the middle of the sea.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Close to you. Perfect. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, so this episode is where to begin with digital marketing. So we're starting off really simple. We don't want to get into really niche, in-depth topics about automating processes and advanced digital marketing as such. But if we can get a good idea, so a lot of situations we come across and what I really want to appeal to is businesses that have often relied a little bit on boat shows, a lot of face-to-face, and now have been thrown in the deep end with you have to go digital, otherwise it's not right. A good situation, right. So if we kind of covered really the start, where to begin. So I've got to go digital, I'm not normally a digital kind of person. Where do I start? Where do I go?
I think, you know, the cheapest thing to do is to start going social media, right? You want to kind of get out there, get on those platforms and be active, you know, search for those boating communities, those fishing communities, recreational sites, as well as put up your business page, you know, whether that's Facebook or whatever social media platform in that area or in that country, you want to definitely have a presence there and kind of start that conversation, you know, and a lot of these platforms are free. So there's no risk to it, but definitely you want to start putting yourself and your business out there and then having those genuine conversations with people. That's usually why I try and push people to start.
And then would you kind of go for them all? Because I've heard of plenty. you kind of start with the big ones and go kind of Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and then am I done? Or am I better on... So some maybe lesser known ones?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. You know, I think it comes down to how much time do you have or whether you can delegate some of it. But obviously, you know, when it's free, you know, you try to get as much distribution as possible. So all of them are in play. I think it really comes down to personal preference. You know, what you feel comfortable creating the most. Is it graphics? Is it video? Is it writing words or blogs and stuff like that? You know, it's kind of usually in those buckets. Are you really good on camera? Are you a lot more personal and you can really articulate your stuff really well? But whatever you do, you know, don't overjudge yourself and don't overthink it. My thing is, you know, just start flexing that muscle, start doing the exercises, and then you'll find your way. You know, you'll try and see what's works and see what you can ideate and create the most of. You know, it's really more about the volume and kind of getting a lot of it out there so you can really find your way for sure.
Yeah, but sometimes I see like companies trying to, almost on social media, I think companies change and they kind of think, all right, this is social media, I've got to be different. But that also doesn't always align with who they really are. That might be as an individual or as a company. And in terms of producing the content, when you're choosing choosing your character and what sort of character you're going to be on social platforms, like what are the good options for that? How do you kind of say, that's the sort of message I'm going to put out over our classic corporate messaging that's a bit boring or vanilla or same old sort of thing?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And I do see that a lot from people and hear that a lot. But, you know, I think of it kind of like this, you know, it's essentially the social part of networking, right? It's what we used to do on the golf course. It's what we used to do at the little league baseball games and stuff. You know, yes, we want to put our business out front. We want to champion our core product or service, but we still want to be personable and approachable. And we still want to have genuine conversations. Like for me, I'm going to talk about fishing, whether I'm in a business meeting or I'm at the bar or I'm at a restaurant, like it's going to happen. So that really comes across in our interactions. It comes across in people who we want to attract. But obviously when we have our business, you know, if we're doing it from our business page, you know, I always revert back to like, let your profile do the selling. So, you know, how it'll have your about us or your business summary, or even like a website link, you know, let that do the pushing of your product. You know, you don't necessarily have to come out and pound your product every single day. You know, a lot of people are not going to really kind of correlate to that. Just like when you see somebody on the golf course and all they do is talk about themselves,
yeah.
Right? You know, you want to have a little bit of back and forth. You want to ask questions. You want to be genuine. You want to engage. And that engagement is really the takeaway. And that's kind of the breakout point of, you know, going from only your business to only personable. You kind of have to kind of play within those two. And engagement really helps do that.
Yeah, yeah. So we said this the other day, didn't we? Like, we do the same to each other. We just...
Yeah.
Book.
Yeah,
it might be something involved in digital or marketing, but it might also just be, oh, that's a really nice boat.
Yeah, exactly.
And just go for it. And I suppose it comes back to people's I suppose it's just their curiosity. Like people want to know other people.
Yeah.
If they call it networking, okay, they might do in a business scenario. But it's also kind of even nosiness or just a bit of, yeah, curiosity is the nice way of putting it. And relying a bit on that. It certainly works for us. I mean, yeah, that's
for sure. You know, it's storytelling at the end of the day. You know, people want to hear stories. They want to get to know each other. And, you know, whether it's how you started your business and kind of put it in that context, or is it, you know, where did you get that shirt? That looks cool. I might want to buy that. So it can be anything and across, you know, it can vary across the board, but definitely I think don't overthink your content. Just make.
Get it out. Yeah. And what sort of, what expectations are realistic for quite a lot of people? So say if it's a one-man band or a small family company, maybe, let's say 10 employees max before we get into the medium and large companies. There's always this kind of infrastructure behind pushing these socials and a website and all this content that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. If I'm a company, I'm already busy. I've got 1,000 things on my list. And now digital is in addition to that. If I say I want a website, I also know that we can build one in a month. It can take 6 months. It can be £1,000. It can be £100,000. No problem.
Yep.
And so how do you kind of gauge what is right for your company at the time? And do you kind of take it step by step and see where it goes? Or do you kind of really need to commit?
Right. Well, I think it really breaks down into business goals, right? So if you have a big initiative that's coming up, say it's a trade show or something, and you need to ramp up that conversation or get that messaging out there within the next 3 months, like, well, then that's where your focus is going to be, right? So you're going to start having those conversations ahead of that. But it fits, just like you said, if you're already busy and you know you just need to get it started, then go slow. You know, either way, I think whether you hit it heavy or you start incrementally posting, you know, once every 2 days or twice a week, or if you do a blog post once a month, like as long as you start, you know, again, flexing that muscle, that'll help push those conversations. But, you know, if you are doing it internally with a small team, I would say try and have somebody dedicated to it or formulate a plan around your business goals, and then let that kind of derive your plan and your execution from that.
Yeah. So then, I mean, a classic one. I love this question. It's like, should I do it myself? Should I get a specialist to do it? And it's kind of, well, you could get a specialist to do it and they do it amazingly well. Of course, there's going to be costs involved. But can I just dive in myself? So, I mean, with things like content, I'm actually usually a fan of that individual creating it.
For sure.
Authentically, absolutely, without doubt, it's going to be their character that comes through in that writing, in that content. It is. But then at scale and given the time commitment, that's very, very tempting to say, hey, look, I'll pay someone to do it. And then it's done. Their time's precious and they've still got their time. I mean, what kind of approach can they do? Is there a kind of work together with a specialist, do it yourself, and kind of dive in a little bit, or what would you suggest?
I mean, I always kind of push for doing it yourself, even at the beginning, because one, as a business owner, you're gonna know how to judge somebody when you do go to hire them, right? So no difference from doing financing or taxes and stuff. Like, I'm not a CPA, but I know enough that I can judge who to hire, right? You know, it's no different than social media, you know. But I definitely think that you should start out and try and find your voice, learn the nuances. That way, when you go to hire somebody, you can say, okay, this person's kind of dropping the ball, or this company is not hitting all of the factors that we want, you know, you can have that context. But either way, social media, you know, the sheer volume and the power that it has right now, I mean, you have to take it seriously because it is free distribution and the power is unwielding. Like, we can't, once you really understand how the Facebooks and the YouTubes and the Instagrams, once you really start learning how the YouTubes and the CRMs like can all integrate within it, and you understand what that can mean for your business or your life or whatever, it can be overwhelming. So I think just having that content of, okay, and that confidence to just start making it yourself and kind of learning the platform and the piping and what all goes in these platforms, I think that's only going to help you because it's not going away. You know, technology, it always evolves and it's always growing. And with the internet now, it's growing faster and faster and faster. I mean, look at TikTok. Like, you know, a year ago, it was just like, it was like Musical.ly. It was a different app and it was just kind of just for kids. Now it's grown in popularity over here. Like within the last 3 months, especially because of the COVID lockdown, but within the last 6 months in the culture, it's definitely shifted an enormous amount of users, and people are growing, you know, going from their high school prom to being in a Super Bowl commercial in 3 months. So, you know, you know, the attention moves very fast, but I think learning those digital things, you know, you definitely want to start that process, but then don't overjudge yourself when you're not on it every day, or you post a post that isn't doing quite as well as you had hoped. Just don't overjudge it and just make something different.
Yeah. And I've gone through this because, I mean, I don't like really being on video so much. And I've had to kind of just say, look, that's just you on video.
Right.
I don't like your voice or whatever, but actually just to do it and get it out there, even if you just quickly watch it over.
Right.
You know, and get out there, then it's there. And especially on things like LinkedIn, I've started doing what probably 10, 20 years ago would have been an unprofessional, not very largely accepted or kind of very productive thing. But it's literally just a selfie video. And right. then I'm there just saying, look, this is what's going on in my business. This is what's happening. And those were received like really well, incredibly. And one of the things that came to mind was you look at the views on these things and you might see like 100 views, right? Okay, that's not too much, especially on the scale of social media. But then in a physical environment, if you were doing a presentation and there's 100 people there and you've just said, hey, this is what my business is doing, that has value. Definitely.
Absolutely.
100%. Without
absolutely.
So that's just one, I don't know, I suppose it's a mindset that I've kind of, it's grown on me to go, hey, look, actually doing a little selfie video to get in front of a few hundred people, yeah, it's worth it. It grows.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
I love that. I love that because I never really thought about it in that context, but you're absolutely right. You know, and I'm definitely going to use that with some of my clients. But I mean, you're right, you know, and a lot of things can kind of get lost in translations from digital to a physical realm. But I mean, you're right. If you speak to a room full of 100 people, that's definitely a bigger deal than, you know, just saying, oh, this post only got 50 likes or 100 likes or 1,000 people. You know, on some of my accounts, you know, that is a low performing number, and you can kind of underappreciate it. But, you know, one of my friends told me a while back, he was just like, don't get caught up in the numbers. So don't get caught up in the how many viewers are watching it, because you can't underestimate that one view. He was just like, if you have one follower and your follower is Oprah, that's a big damn you know. So I think your influence is highly impressionable, so definitely don't underestimate the views. And you know, a lot of people kind of take that for granted, so that's a great analogy. I love that.
Yeah. And so I mean, we've come really to measuring digital efforts. It's really interesting because digital is so easy to overlook, because you're not there face to face. You don't see people handing you money or anything like that, but it still happens.
Right.
So often it's kind of right. Some kind of digital investment, let's say it's building a website, is a lot of money, say X thousand pounds. And then how do I then see my return on that? And I see thousands of tools that say, hey, look, we'll give you a load of data saying this is what's happening on it. But then that movement to knowing what's happening and kind of looking at the data to then taking action on that data is a very big difference.
Right. So,
another tip for these kind of small business owners or medium and large size enterprises, how do you kind of take that data from a load of numbers to actually kind of humanizing it and,
right.
and realizing this is what it means and this is what we can do to benefit from knowing that?
That's a great point. And one way I kind of look at it is, you know, when we do go to showing those numbers, you know, I try and have that conversation up front. I'm like, look, we're going to expect slow. So like the first month to 3 months, we're going to really kind of date your audience. You're going to kind of get to know them, see what they like before we really expect any type of return, you know, necessarily in an investment. And granted, you're going to see some more phone calls. You're going to see conversations being started. You're going to see whether like the boat shows, you know, when you go there, people are going to come up like, oh, is this the boat I saw on Instagram? You're not necessarily going to see it because again, it's just those kind of views, but that person might have shared it, or they tagged their friend, or they screenshotted it, but they probably didn't even hit the like button, but you've created that nuance. So again, you know, expecting slow is incredibly important, but you can track those efforts. So like you said, there's a lot of tools out there to where you can post, you can put a different phone number in your profile or in the actual post itself and track how many people actually call this specific number. And it's not going to be your main number, right? It's going to be a number that's tied to your CRM or a number that's going to be like a Google redirect number. So, you know, and you can do the same with influencers as well. So a lot of people have like promo codes that they'll give to you know, other entities or business partners that when somebody does make a purchase, they can track, okay, this purchase came from Art Hill, this purchase came from Ben. So you can kind of track a lot of that stuff, but again, just expect slow, because a lot of this stuff definitely takes time to kind of get going, for sure.
Yeah, so really set those expectations. And even if you're very rapidly exceeding those expectations, as long as you get an idea of this is the scale of it, this is what it's going to take.
Right. And so I had, here's a story for you too. On the opposite side of this, you know, I had a client, had a video go viral, and I actually posted it on LinkedIn, and, you know, the conversation was, it's, you know, I think it was 5:30 in the morning. Yeah. And he texted me like, you're up. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I've been up. And he was just like, did you see that video last night? He's like, it's at 250,000 views. Like, why was it this one? What was so special about it? And I'm like, look, man, like, I'm like,
who knows?
I kind of told him, like, it was the right place. It was the right information, or the right messaging at the right place, at the right time, to the right people, you know? Like, he's a fishing captain out of, you know, Mobile, Alabama, really well known, has a big following on Facebook, and he's posting his night vision camera. And it was just a picture of them. It's like a 30-second clip of them running back in the middle of the night, 45 miles an hour, and his night vision on his radar, you know, you can just see it plain as day. You know, that's something that people don't really know, but he posted probably 100 videos doing the exact same thing. So that one just hit the zeitgeist, and it's going to take off. So you can plan for that all you want, but you can't guarantee that it's going to happen. So I tell people, like, look, going viral or kind of hitting that 1.2 million view video can be amazing for your business, but don't expect it. Yeah. You know, those things come with the volume of content that you create. So the more you make videos, the more you see what your people like, the more you show. And again, it doesn't have to be high production. Often it's not. It's those little raw videos, the face-to-face, you know, conversations that tend to kind of strike a chord. And once the algorithm picks it up, then it's over. You know, that social part of sharing. I think you got like 1,200 shares. So, you know, with that many people sharing it, it's putting it out on their network. So it just kind of multiplies from there. So,
yeah. And it's always so exciting just saying, like, it only takes one.
It really does.
Just take one. I've always got to manage my own expectations. Going, this could be it. But you never know. But I mean, I suppose in this industry, with the marine industry, especially in the superyacht sector, it takes one person to be a significant purchase that can dwarf marketing funds like
for sure, for sure.
One, it's, I mean, it makes it difficult. There's no doubt there, but I mean, it does just take one.
For sure, absolutely, and that's just it, right? I mean, one of my clients had a. He sold 3 boats, which amounted to about $1.5 million off of a TikTok post. He posted, it was a green MTI. It had like these 5 Yamaha or 5 Mercury motors on the back, nice. Painted lime green. So it was like a really iconic boat, right? And he just posted it on the TikTok, and the guy's daughter saw it. Like, this is like almost a year ago now. The guy's daughter saw him, like, look, Dad, this is your boat. It's famous because it got a lot of views. And he looks the guys up. He's like, oh, I know these guys. Let me give them a call. I actually want to sell this boat. So he calls them. He sets it up, sells that boat, buys another boat from my client, and then says, my 2 friends are in the market as well. So they, 2 of his other friends, also bought 2 boats from him, all from, like, again, you can't expect that to happen when you post it, but it does. That is how it works.
Yeah, it does.
You know,
we're in a mad world.
It is crazy.
World.
It is crazy.
I was speaking to Rhea the other day, and she says, just in the real world or something, talking about how hard she's working on a project and doing all this. And my email response back was just, "What? What's the real world? We're in yachting, like, get real."
Yeah.
Just not even close to reality.
Yep. Yeah.
It's tons of fun, eh? It's tons of fun.
That is cool.
Right, cool. So I've done most of my questions. I don't know if there's anything in particular that you'd like to go into. We've probably got a good. I'm thinking this will be around 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I mean, I imagine there's quite a lot of content to go in at there.
For sure.
But outside of that, it's just kind of say goodbye to everyone and then.
Yeah.
And then sword.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's good. And we can close it out and just say, like, you know, how do we find you on your social media channels? Or if there's, like, there's some kind of takeaway, which I don't even really have an answer to that. But
I don't know the answers yet, because I don't know where the where it's going on from Yacht International side.
Right.
As they've got going.
Right.
I'll probably give you a shout out to Rogue. What is it? Rogue Marine Advisor.
Yeah, yeah. And we can even do it in the notes too. So like the show notes or the description.
Yeah.
That works for me.
Cool. Everybody wins there. Everybody wins.
Yep. What else? I was thinking of something that right there at the last minute. It wasn't like.
I did that so many times. And then we go on to the next thing. I'm like,
it's gone. We're talking about like expecting slow, and then we start talking about the TikTok thing.
What is it? Another story? Something to do with buying?
I think it was. I don't know. It was something like that. But yeah. Again. Yeah, I think this world can kind of feel like the real world, and then outside can kind of feel like the fake world, you know, at times.
You get lost in it, don't you? You kind of
just, really do.
It's the same struggle. Business is hard, especially mm-hmm. in it. And then you're in an environment which is leisure industry, a lot of travel involved. And then on top of that, you've got these clients that have often quite bizarre behavior patterns out of nowhere and just like, what happened? And
yes. Like
suddenly just getting the wallets out and spending loads. And then it's taken 3, 5, 10 years for them to spend a penny.
Right.
They're already a client and then they disappear and come back and they just do whatever they want, appear out of nowhere.
Yep.
Or see me. Like,
and like, hey, we need this too. And that's another thing too, like as far as budgets and stuff is concerned, you know, when you start talking about, you know, those medium to small businesses or the bigger businesses, like how much do you allocate? And I'm like, really kind of boils down to how much you can afford to like expect nothing from it, right? So it's just like, you can spend a lot of money, especially when it's in paid or production, but.
Come on.
Huh?
It's easy spending money, right?
For sure. Exactly. Yeah. It's easy to spend it. But, you know, and it's funny because as we kind of transition from those busy boat shows and stuff into now a lot more digital world, you know, you have to kind of reallocate those funds. So now what we would have spent in flying our whole staff across the country to a boat show, sending all of our boats, getting captains and trailers, all the logistic costs that's involved, all of the lighting in the booth, all of that stuff. Now you can take, you know, say a third of whatever that budget was, and now you can start to create your own digital boat show. Now you can do, you know, interactions with social media influencers. You can get boosted on social media pages. You can do direct to consumer ad buys for a fraction of that cost of what you would have put to one boat show. You know, that money, when it translates to digital, can go a lot further, you know, than something that you've already accepted in the general, you know, process of your business. Okay, we're going to buy these three magazine ads. We're going to be on the cover of this one, and we're going to pay to get this award, or we're going to win this award is by donating this much money to this magazine, right? Those things have already kind of proven themselves as working over time. So those budgets have already been set. But now what COVID has done is actually forced people to rethink, okay, one, we have to be a lot more, we have a lot more eyeballs on how we spend money. So we better see some kind of return on it, or we need to question it. And it's really easy to say, well, how am I going to get my return back in from that money? It's a lot easier to track it in digital versus, hey, this person turned to page 53 in this one magazine ad, and we saw our half page ad, you know, like, how are we going to track that? You know, but that is the conversation that are being had right now. You know,
it's bizarre. I think it's the whole framing of that first conversation, like you're saying, like, right, okay, which three magazines or magazine pages are we gonna sponsor and have an advert in? Yeah. So if that question changes to how are we gonna reach this many people, and by the way, you can't do a boat show, because
right,
then yep, that's a whole different conversation. And 100%. I'm really excited about that, because yachting is so far behind in digital in particular, but it's also really, really resistant to change.
100%.
So because I think it's kind of amplified it, or certainly speeded it up, because they simply cannot do what they have been doing, or that we have been doing. And there's no choice around it. It's
right,
or it's going to be some tough times. Like,
right.
So I mean, yeah, be interesting to see.
It is. I mean, and let's call it what it is, you know. So some boat shows that are more poorly attended, and these companies have already sent their army of brokers to it. What are they doing? They're literally sitting there at the booth on their phones. But then you have the old guard who's in charge that are saying, don't post anything on social media. You know, it can only come from our page, and you know, they want to kind of guard that messaging. When in hindsight, I'm like, look at what all your customers are doing. Like, they found out about your boat show from their phone. So why would you not want more interaction on it? It's just a complete mind shift. But it does take that person at the top who is willing to say, okay, this is the budget, or this is the team, you guys go. This is marketing, not selling. So what we have already is a sales team and process, and we have that process already knocked down. And yes, we have a budget and people dedicated to that, but this is marketing. This is a little bit of gray. This is the money that we're going to spend to kind of make things happen for the sales guy, but there's not going to be a direct within the next 2 weeks correlation, or I'm gonna pull my money. Like, that's the conversations that need to be had, and that are being had at the highest levels.
Yeah, you know, it would be really funny. I would absolutely love to see a picture at a boat show of a customer walking past a stand on their phone.
Yeah,
just head down. If you ever see one, send me.
Yeah,
put it on our socials and go, this happened. It finally happened.
I mean, you know, I've looked for that same picture, going back through like B-roll of the videographers of what they send me from the shows. I'm like, I'm looking for it, because it's there. Yes. That's how people are doing, you know. They're doing photos. So then when you talk about marketing efforts for Super Yacht, still have their own hashtag or something like that, you know.
Yeah,
they're kind of dipping their toe in the water of it. But once you really fully understand it, man, it's unreal. Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Right, so awesome. Thank you very, very much, Art, for coming on. Yep. That concludes our first ever episode of Flagship Digital Insights. So, yeah, this is where it began, hey? Who knows where
awesome.
It was. But to our viewers, thank you very much for tuning in. And hopefully this is going to be a weekly broadcast going out. So we will see you again in the future, and we'll go into a bit more detail and specialist sectors of digital marketing and what businesses can do in digital at the moment. So bye for now, and thank you very much for tuning in. Bye.
Thank you.